Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support. It's kept us on the air for more than four decades and allows me to be here most Wednesdays and be able to talk about any number of topics. Unfortunately, old Red Legs is still having his way with some of the equipment here, and we're not able to take phone calls again today. And as a result, we'll do doing a live show here in the 4 o'clock hour and 5 o'clock. Since I don't have a guest in the studio, we're going to go ahead and put a replay on. I'm hoping to have somebody here from the Miraculous Metal Shrine next Wednesday to talk about some things that are going on there if we're not able to take phone calls by then. So say a little prayer that we're able to figure out what the technical difficulty is and get that resolved and get back to normal here in 2026. In addition to doing the radio shows, I'm also the executive director of Our House Ministries, founded by Father McKay, and serve on the board of the Catholic Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, and a whole lot of other things besides, among which are involvement at the Malvern Retreat House. And a reminder that coming up April 24th to the 26th, there'll be the Matt Talbot 57 weekend. My good friend Michael Murphy, who appeared in the Matt Talbot film with myself and Patrick, our engineer, Father McKay, and a number of others. Michael Murphy will be coming in from Ireland for that weekend. He's bringing the first-class relic of Matt Talbot with him. We'll have a healing service over the course of the weekend. I'm sure we'll show the Matt Talbot film. And should be a great weekend. If you or someone you know is in recovery and interested in making that weekend, you can register online at malvernretreat.com. malvernretreat.com. Go to the website, click on Find a Retreat, and it'll go through a whole list of upcoming retreats, including my Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Retreat in August. This year it's the second Friday in August, August 14th to the 16th. It's not a recovery weekend. We've got a lot of men that are in recovery, but it's open to anybody, and again, you'll find that on malvernretreat.com. A reminder that I put some material out on Substack at notsaintsyet.substack.com. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. Take a look. I'll be posting something tonight or tomorrow morning regarding this show and the whole series on the 12-step program that we've been talking about over the course of the last couple of months. Reminder that all the shows here, the live shows anyway, are on Facebook Live. You can go out to Facebook, look for In His Sign Catholic Radio, and you'll be able to see myself and some of the other broadcasters that come into the studio. You'll be able to see us live, and in addition to listening to us over the radio or through WTMR's app, which is a great way to listen to the program, especially in the wintertime as it gets dark and the signal gets turned down a little bit. Having the app on your smartphone or tablet is a great way to listen, as well as through WTMR's website at WTMRradio.com. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church at 29th and Dickinson in Grays Ferry is open Tuesdays and Thursdays, beginning with daily mass at 8:30, closing around 3 o'clock. We're hoping to expand that. We've talked about it for a few years, about how to draw more people. And so if you're interested in coming down to visit, make sure you go to the Our House Ministries website first, ourhouseministries.org, and get in touch with us. Let us know you're coming, and we can arrange to meet you over in church. I think that's it in the way of announcements, so let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, You have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. Our patron saints and guardian angels and all the saints and angels, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Normally we would announce here that it's a one-hour call-in show, but again, we're having issues taking phone calls, so you'll be listening to me for the next 54 minutes or so. One thing I didn't mention, this Matt Talbot film has grown in popularity is not the right word, but at least people that know about it. We've had a couple of requests to show the film up in the Boston area. Michael Murphy will be taking care of one of them at the end of April, and just got a request for another showing. But we're hoping to negotiate a deal with an organization that is able to put the film into theaters. And it could be as many as 1,000 theaters for anywhere from 1 to 3 nights. To make that happen, we've been raising some money and also gathering some influencers, people that can talk about the film once we have release dates. So I ask you to keep the project in your prayers. You can learn more about the film, including watching a trailer at matttalbotfilm.com. That's matttalbotfilm.com. We don't currently have any showings scheduled here in the Philadelphia area. If you think you might be able to get a crowd out, by all means, get in touch with us, and we'll see what we can do about making that happen. Also, should announce coming up February 28th, this is Saturday, is Man Up Philly. Back at Cardinal O'Hara High School again this year. Father McKay will be the one of the speakers at Man Up Philly this year. We're hoping that he's going to be able to squeeze in the trailer for the Matt Talbot film as part of his talk. But all the men certainly in the area are more than welcome to come on out. If you go to manupphilly.com, you can register there. And I know I'll be out there with a table along with Dan Tarrant at Personally Catholic. Bill Rose will be on hand from Joyful Films and a number of other folks that were involved in the Matt Talbot film. So why is the Matt Talbot film so important? Well, as we've been talking here in the 4 o'clock hour on Wednesdays the last few weeks, last few months, I should say, we've been going over the 12 steps of the 12-step program. Initially, it came about as part of the founding of Alcoholics Anonymous, the original 12-step program. But as we talk about in the film, Matt Talbot was doing the 12 steps before the 12-step program ever came about. He died in 1925, and AA wasn't founded until 10 years later in 1935. But a lot of what's involved in what they call the program, Matt Talbot was definitely taking part in. Over the past few months, we've talked about steps 1 through 9, and just a quick review. In step 1, we admit that we've got a problem and that our lives have become unmanageable. For AA, that's obviously alcohol, but there are a number of 12-step programs now, including narcotics, overeaters, for those that struggle with addiction to food, gambling, Debtors Anonymous, people like to run up credit cards. There's DA for that. There's Al-Anon for those that may not necessarily have an addiction of their own, but live with somebody or have family members that struggle with addiction. I believe there's nicotine out there for those with cigarettes. So any number of programs, depending on what people may be addicted to. And as I mentioned in the film, if you're not addicted to God, you're probably addicted to something that's taking you away from God, because we're all wired for ecstasy and trying to find it in some form. Hopefully, if you're listening to this show, you're trying to find it in God. But when you don't find it in God, when people don't find it in God, they'll often seek out other means in order to experience that ecstasy. And unfortunately, it takes a lot of people down the wrong path. So in step one, we admit that we've got a problem, that we're addicted to something. And step two, we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, can relieve us from the addiction, or allow us to find a way to cope with an addiction. The 12-step program talks about a power we believe, of course, as Catholics and Christians, that power is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Once we believe that, in the third step, we make a decision that we're going to turn our will and our lives over to God. And as when we had the conversation about step three, or when I talked about step three, it's in making that decision that we make a decision that we're going to do steps, at least in the 12-step program, do steps 4 through 9. If you're not in a 12-step program and you're making that decision, some people think that it's got to be one that you make today and hold fast to every day for the rest of your life. And that can be really hard to do if you don't do steps 4 through 9 or incorporate what 4 through 9 do for the addict into your life. And that involves cleaning house. In steps 4 and 5, we acknowledge all the things that we've done, the fears that we've had, resentments that we've had against people and institutions. In steps 6 and 7, we take that list and we can really start to hone in on the character defects or that we have. And once we know what they are, then we can ask God to remove them in step 7. Last week, we talked about steps 8 and 9, where we made a list of people that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And then step 9, we were going to go out and make those amends. As I've talked about the steps, I've often mentioned that in some cases the step will build on our Catholic faith, and in others the Catholic faith builds on the step. When we talked about 8 and 9 last week, you know, going out and making amends for the things that we've done is not something that I've ever been asked to do by a priest in the sacramental confession. That you get your Our Fathers or Hail Marys or rosaries or whatever the penance may be. But I think it's often rare that you'll be asked to go back and make amends to the person. I don't know if it's assumed that you're going to do that. But in the 12-step program, it's explicit that we need to go and do that. And it's not for anybody else's benefit except for our own, so that we can clean up the wreckage of the past and not be afraid to run into people or, people, especially people that we've got to be around a lot, whether it's family members, friends, coworkers, you know, whoever it may be. We want to, clean up our side of the street so that we don't have to worry about having to cross over to the other side of the street if we see them coming or having to avoid them for any particular reason. And once we get through step 9, and in the book it talks about these promises that will be given. And in the book it says when we're halfway through making those amends is when we'll start to experience these promises. And basically it's a promise that we're not going to live in fear anymore. We're not going to live in resentment anymore. We're not going to be afraid to look at our past and learn from it. That we're going to be able to go from here to be, people worthy of God's love and mercy, and to share that message with other people. In the 12th step, we talk about, you know, helping other people in light of a 12-step program. You'll now be able to help other people that struggle with the same addiction. But as Catholics and Christians, we can help anybody by sharing about our faith. And eventually we'll get to the 12th step in a couple of weeks. But today I want to talk a little bit about the 10th step. And the text of it is that we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So in steps 4 through 9, we've basically cleaned up the wreckage of the past. And in step 10, we want to prevent ourselves from going back to our old ways. And there's really nothing new in the 10th step, you know, beginning in 1935 when the program came about. The 10th step has been going on since Jesus Christ walked the earth, and it's taken the various names over the centuries. It could be called an examination of conscience. It can be called the examine, or the examine prayer, and this is where I think our Catholic faith really builds on the 10th step. In the step, basically what we're going to do each night or at some point during the day, some people like to do it in the morning because they're more clear than they are at night. You know, perhaps you're tired or what have you. But at some time during each day, it's a great practice to do an examination of conscience, the examine, or the 10th step inventory. And basically what we're doing is reviewing our day. We're going back over the last 24 hours and looking at what happened. Who did we interact with? What did we do? What did we not do that we should have done? Look at our life and see where we can make improvements. This is an opportunity to see patterns perhaps that are starting to come about that are leading to a behavior that we're not particularly fond of. And before we get too far down a path with it, we can ask God to remove it and we can do something about it, whether it's going to confession, making additional masses during the week, additional time in prayer, adoration, whatever it may be, but to stem the behavior that's starting to pop up so that it doesn't eventually lead to having to go back to whatever it was that we're addicted to. Because basically it's an escape, right? We don't want to think about what we've been doing. We don't want to think about the bad things we've done, the things we should have done and didn't do. And if we let them build up too much, we can make a return to alcohol or drugs or shopping or eating or whatever it is that we do to avoid it, having to think about it. And so the 10th step is really a way to protect ourselves from getting there. In light of that, the 10th step is the book outlines. It's pretty simple. Review our day and then, decide that we're going to go back and apologize or make amends to anybody that we may have hurt. And resolve to, continue to be a better person. A few years back at our Calyx meeting in Grace Ferry, we went through a series of videos with Father Timothy Gallagher, an oblate of the Virgin Mary. I think it's OMV, the initials after his name. And he's written a number of books on Ignatian spirituality. I've had him on the radio recently for the latest book that he wrote. But one of the books I highly recommend that he put out is called The Examine Prayer. And he goes in depth on how to do this examine, initially put forth by St. Ignatius of Loyola. I think I mentioned before that, really the 12-step program is nothing more than the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, repackaged so that it can be swallowed by those that struggle with addiction. And in this 10th step in the examine prayer, St. Ignatius of Loyola goes through a five-step process, and we're going to take a little bit of time and go through each of the five. But if you have an opportunity, I highly recommend you pick up the book by Father Gallagher. One of the greatest lessons I learned in those videos, and it may have even been before that because I learned about the examine prayer, was this idea that we transition into prayer. And I know a lot of people, when they first hear about this, they were like me, where you could be in the middle of doing something, you're watching TV, you're driving in the car, whatever activity you're involved in, and then all of a sudden you realize that you need to pray. And so you'll start praying, you'll start talking to God, and maybe rote prayers or just start saying the rosary. And that's all well and good, but one of the first thing that we should be doing, as I've come to learn, is the transition into prayer. And so before we actually start talking to God or praying any of the rote prayers, that we become aware of the love with which God looks upon me as I begin the prayer, and in this case, the examine prayer. And that gives us an opportunity to just be quiet, maybe for a minute or two, to try to clear our mind of whatever it is that's been going on, whatever's been bothering us. To just put ourselves in God's presence and think about the love and mercy and the gifts that He's given us, and you know, just to put ourselves in God's presence. And I know that in my own experience that makes a big difference in what happens in the next minutes or whatever period of time it is that I'm going to spend in prayer. It really makes a difference. It's just like if you're going to talk to a friend, that you know you don't bump into them perhaps, and all of a sudden start talking about whatever it is that's going on in your life. You may start with some sort of greeting, how you doing, hello, and you know, acknowledge the other person before you start laying everything on them. And I know there's cases where you know it doesn't happen that way, where you know, you may have something that's really driving you crazy, and you're looking for the first opportunity to talk to somebody about it. And, you know, God help that person that you run into, and you just start laying it on them. But, you know, if you think about it, wouldn't it be better if you acknowledge them first and see how they're doing, and kind of set the tone for a conversation before you just jump right into it? And so that's what we're going to do with God. We're just going to take a minute to clear our minds, clear our hearts, clear our souls of any of the junk that may be there in the current moment, and let God know that you want to spend the next whatever amount of time it's going to be. And it can be as simple as, you know, Lord, I want to spend the next 15 minutes with you. And talk about what's going on in my life, and hopefully receive any message that you want to give me. And you know, sometimes it can start out as you know just for the next 5 minutes, and over time, hopefully your prayer life improves, and that 5 minutes can grow to 15 minutes, to 30 minutes, maybe even a holy hour. But acknowledge God and let Him know that you know that He's there. And then we get into gratitude. St. Paul, in his epistles, often stresses the idea of gratitude, that every prayer should start with gratitude, that before we start griping to God about what's going on in our lives and trying to list out the things that we think we need, that we should start by thanking God for all the gifts that we've been given. And I was in confession over at the Miraculous Metal Shrine a couple of weeks ago, and it was the first time in my almost 65 years of life and 58 years of making the sacraments that I've ever had a priest ask me what I thought I should do for my penance. And, you know, at first, you know, I didn't think he was joking. I knew it was going somewhere. He wouldn't have asked the question just for the heck of it. But he said, you know, what do you think you should do for your penance? And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, you know, how about a gratitude rosary? And the priest there had never heard of it. So I told him about the gratitude rosary and something that I learned over the years from Father McKay. And it's really quite simple. You pull out the rosary beads, and you can use rosary beads for any number of things. But pull out the rosary beads, and there's 50-some beads on there, and come up with 50 or 60 things that you're grateful for. And I remember when I first learned about it and first tried to do it, that it could be kind of hard to, in a single period of time, and in a relatively short period of time, to come up with 50 or 60 things that you're grateful for. But over time, you come to realize that there's so many things in our life that we can be grateful for. If you come from a large family, you have a lot of relatives, you can take up a large part of the rosary just with them. I think when I first started doing it, I would thank God for my wife and thank God for my kids. And then instead of the kids being one thing, I have four of them. So each one of them get detailed. And then I had a couple of grandkids that came later. So, add a couple grandkids, and then some special people that are in my life. And you add them, and next thing you know, you've got a dozen or 20 of the beads already that are taken up. Chances are, if you're doing this gratitude rosary, you're breathing, so you can thank God that you woke up that day. Most of us have a roof over our head, so you can thank God for that roof. Most of us, usually by the time we get to this, have had one meal. If you're doing it at night, you've probably had three plus some snacks. So you can thank God for each one of those meals. If you've got employment, you can thank God for that. If you had a friend that helped you out that day, you can thank God for that. If you had God put somebody in your path that day or recently, you can thank God for them. But after you practice this and do it for a while, it can be fairly easy to come up with 50 things to be grateful for. And it's just as simple as on each bead, Jesus, I am grateful for Megan. Jesus, I am grateful for Matthew. Jesus, I'm grateful for Michael and Mary Kate and Julia and Parker. And then now I got a son-in-law, a future son-in-law. My one son's dating somebody, so there are more people that I can add to it. But the bottom line is that we want to start off this examine prayer with gratitude. And gratitude, I'll hear a phrase from time to time, especially in meetings where it's important to have an attitude of gratitude. If we're grateful for the things that we have in life, even if it's just the basics, it just changes our attitude towards everything else. Because then everything else becomes a bonus, right? If we've got the roof over our head and food on the table, a car that's got gas in it, gainful employment. If we've got the necessities, then it should be real easy to be happy in life, because we've got all the basics. Anything else that comes after that's gravy. It's a bonus. And there's an awful lot of people that don't have that, especially those that are still in the throes of addiction. So, find time in your prayer to always begin that prayer with gratitude. And I don't know that God necessarily perks up more if you start your prayer that way. I know if somebody's coming to me and asking for something, if they start out by thanking me for something I did for them already, I'm certainly more aware of that and more open to helping them again. How many of us know people that are constantly on the take? They're constantly needy. And there's people that are like that. And I'm sure that they don't want to be that way. It, for whatever reason, that's the circumstances that they're in. And they may not ever thank you. And so if you don't get thanked for what you've done in the past, you may be more resistant to do things for them in the future. I don't think God's that way. God's going to love us and show us his mercy regardless. But with that idea in mind that, if we thank God for what he's already done for us, then it's at least for myself, it's easier to approach him to talk to him about the other things that are going on in my life and the things that that I might need. So that's just the first step in this examine prayer is gratitude. We're going to talk about the other four steps after the break. We are going to take a short one, and we'll be right back. So don't go away.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. And thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that has kept us on the air for a long, long time. And again, allows me to be here on Wednesdays. We can't do this without you. Your financial support is the sole thing that keeps us on. We don't we don't play commercials from other groups. We do take people that want to sponsor a program. If you want to do that, you can reach out to Maureen here and sponsor a show and get remembered at our monthly mass, amongst other things that that go on here. So in the first segment today, before we go to continue our talk on the 10th step here in the examine prayer, just a couple of Calyx meetings that are coming up. We get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, 6 o'clock. We get started with adoration, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting. We're usually in our Matt Talbot Chapel right at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. On the third Tuesday of the month, we're usually in St. Gabriel's Church. We were actually over in our chapel last night because the church gets a little bit chilly when it's real cold. And so last night we were over in our chapel. But that third Tuesday in February will be February 17th. The unit at Glenside, St. Luke the Evangelist Church, my home parish. Again, that's the third Saturday of each month. We just met last Saturday. We'll be meeting in February on the 21st, 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the fourth Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will be gathering this coming Saturday, the 24th. Father McKay will be out there, along with a host of others. So that's what's going on with Calix. And also mentioned at the very beginning of the show, the Matt Talbot film. Go out and visit matttalbotfilm.com and register. You'll get updates on a somewhat regular basis as to what's going on with the film, especially as we get closer to being able to put it in theaters. So in the first segment today, we were talking about the 10th step and the examine prayer. We talked about transitioning into prayer, and then the first step being gratitude and thanking God. And once we're done with that, then we move into step two, which is petition. And in here, as Father Gallagher explains in his book, The Examine Prayer, I ask God for an insight and a strength that will make this examine of work of grace fruitful beyond my human capacity alone. So we've already thanked God, and now we're going to ask God to be with us during this prayer time, that it's not just me that's in this alone and talking or thinking about things going on in my life, but rather to invite God into it, that this is a shared experience, and believing that God wants to be a part of this prayer as much as you want to be and as much as you want him to be, right? That we're not going to do this alone. Then in step three, this is where the review starts. And with God, I review the day. I look for the stirrings in my heart and the thoughts that God has given me this day. I look also for those that have not been of God. I review my choices in response to both and throughout the day in general. And this review is, I think, something that will always evolve. In the early days when I first learned about doing a 10th step, it was pretty basic and pretty quick. And looking for things that really stood out throughout the day, people I bumped into, things, you know, ways that I may have hurt people, and like I said, it's part of the 10th step, resolving to fix it the next day. And but over the years, the review, at least on my part, has gotten more in depth to now where I try to visualize the people who I crossed paths with that day, the things that I did. There's times where I'll chunk it up into hours or blocks of time where I know where I was and what I was doing. And, you know, was what I was doing, was it of God or was it of Ken? Was I doing the things that I thought that God will want me to do in those situations, or was I doing what Ken wanted to do in order to get out of it whatever I thought I wanted or needed at the time? And so what really has really helped me is to look for the faces of the people that I interacted with. And each of those interactions was not a coincidence. It didn't happen by chance. It was divinely inspired. And in each of those activities, in each of those meetings, I believe today that I'm either supposed to help somebody or somebody is supposed to help me, or it could be something as simple as a conversation and taking the time to be with other people. And it was interesting. I was asked to speak at a meeting yesterday afternoon in California. And I didn't have to fly to California in order to do it. With the advent of online meetings through any number of methods, it's possible to gather with people all over the world at any given time, right? One of the few benefits of COVID that came about is our ability now to have these online meetings. And so yesterday I was asked to speak to a group. Most of the folks were in California. It was a group that normally got together in person and had meetings. And when COVID came about, they made use of the online meeting, and now they've kind of stuck to it. And it's the third time I've been asked to be a part of that meeting, and it was interesting because in each time, you know, life changes. We never stand still, no matter where we are in life. I know so many times that I thought I had arrived, that I had finally gotten to the place where God intended for me to be, and I was going to be able to stay there. And it sometimes it lasts for a little while, usually not very long. And next thing you know, God's pushing you into the next thing. And one of the things that has happened with me over the last 10 months now, since Sue passed, it was that I try not to waste any moments anymore. I'm not perfect at it yet. I'm still trying, but I learned a long time ago that it was important to live one day at a time. And in the last year or so, I've kind of done away with that and try to live one moment at a time. Because, you know, once the moment passes, it's gone, and it's gone forever. You know, the first segment of this show, even though it's recorded, as far as its role in my life, it's kind of gone. I can't go back and change what I said in the first segment. It's gone, right? And the only moment that I have is the moment that I have right now. And I can't worry about the future and future moments because, number one, they may not come. And that's probably the biggest lesson I got in the last year. And the second thing is, no matter how much we think about it, pray about it, the moments that are going to come usually don't come the way that we think that they will. So many times we think certain things are going to happen, certain people are going to do certain things, and it just doesn't happen the way that we thought it was going to happen. So why waste time counting on those things? It's all right to make plans and do things. We all need to do that, but always leave room for God to make changes in those plans. But really to live one moment at a time. And so as part of this review, I try to go through my life one moment at a time. And it's not every second that I'm going through, but usually through all these interactions. And in them, did I do what I thought God would want me to do in those interactions? Did I help the person that needed help? Did I allow the person to help me? Perhaps there's something that I'm struggling with, and God put the right person in my life to help me with it. And did I mention it to them? And did I allow them to help me? I'm one of those people where it's real easy to help others. I have no qualm whatsoever in helping people. Usually, as long as I think they're going to be grateful for it, right? But I can struggle sometimes to let people help me. So many times, somebody will offer help and say, "Nah, I got it," or I think it's going to take more effort to explain to them how to do things than it takes to actually do it. Now, that means that they'd be able to do it again down the road, like, instead of handing a man a fish, teaching him how to fish. Well, it's going to take time to teach him how to fish. You're going to have to teach him about the mechanics of a rod and reel and putting bait on the hook, and then how to toss the bait out into the water and how to feel for the line on when a fish might be about to clamp down on your hook, and then once it's hooked, how to reel it in without breaking the line or letting the fish get off the hook. And then once you get the fish in, you got to teach them how to fillet it and how to fillet it right so you're not eating bones and getting rid of the stuff that you don't want to eat. And then once you got it filleted, maybe how to prepare it and cook it so that it's actually palatable and what have you. Well, that doesn't happen in an instant. You know, something as simple as teaching a man how to catch a fish and eat it can be a whole day experience, right? And so sometimes it's easier for us to just go to the store, buy the fish, and cook it and hand it to them. And I used to find myself doing that, especially in the workplace. Instead of training other people how to do things, I would just keep doing it myself. Today it's not like that. I'm willing to take the time to show others how to do the things so that they can become self-sufficient. But all these things happen throughout the day. It's random every day, especially in the work that I do these days. No 2 days are ever the same anymore, which is a great thing. But I really, when I review my day, need to take a look at the people that God has put in my life that particular day and make sure that I did what I was supposed to. And when I don't, then I can, and this will be at the end where you make the renewal, but I can resolve to fix it the next day, maybe circle back and acknowledge the encounter that we had and maybe set things straight. Once we go through that review, and as Catholics and Christians, some of the things that will pop up in there, of course, is our sinful behavior. And, you know, whether it's anger, lust, envy, any of the seven deadly sins, gossip, whatever it is that we've done, in the fourth step of this exam, we're now going to ask for forgiveness. I ask for the healing touch of the forgiving God who, with love and respect for me, removes my heart's burdens. And after all, isn't that what we're really looking for, is to have those burdens removed? And obviously we can't make a sacramental confession every time we do this. We could. We'd probably drive priests crazy if we were going to confession every day. I've been known to go, you know, more than once in a week when stuff has come up, but not every day. I think I heard that Pope John Paul II perhaps went to confession every day. And in his role, maybe that was something he felt that was necessary. As Catholics, we were taught that we need to do our Easter duty, right? We need to go to confession at least once a year. We also need to go to confession if we commit mortal sin. You may have heard that, you know, venial sin can be forgiven at Mass as part of that. But the line here that Father Gallagher used, where he says, removes my heart's burdens. And that's what it is, right? That's when we think about these things, the hurts that we've done to other people, the attitudes and behaviors that we're not particularly proud of. It's one thing to think about it, and even in the examen prayer, to ask God's forgiveness of those things. But it's a whole other thing to be able to have the gift of a sacramental confession and being able to go and talk to a priest and hash these things out. And to hear those wonderful words at the end that, you know, through the power of God, that all our sins are forgiven. And that's, at least for me, that's a bath that you can't put a price tag on. I remember going to confession for the first time on retreat back in 1993, after having been away from the sacraments for quite a while, and how light I felt after that. And so many times approaching the sacrament of confession with a heavy heart, and after going through the process and hearing those words, being able to come out of the confessional and feeling that lightness again. To have all those burdens removed and to know that I'm back in God's graces again and able to experience His grace again. Because, you know, chances are, you know, there's some of the sins that we've committed that's literally cut us off from that grace, that it's in going to confession, that it's that's restored. And after we ask God for the forgiveness, then step five is renewal. And this is, I think, a pretty important step of the prayer. Father Gallagher writes, I look to the following day and with God, right? So with this whole process that we're going through, we're asking God to take part in it with us, to guide us, to help us in this prayer. But we say, with God, plan concretely how to live in accord with God's loving desire for my life. For those of us that are in a program, in a 12-step program, it's God's will, right? Trying to discern what God's will is for us. And we make a renewal here that we want to renew that decision that we made in step three to live our lives according to God's will. And And part of that process, it can be looking forward to the next day. And everybody, walks around with one of these smartphones in their pocket these days. It's got a calendar on it. Some people, that calendar can dictate their whole life, where they're going hour by hour each day, especially if they lead hectic lives. One of the things that I've learned to do with mine is to put in prayer time. It can be 6, noon, and 6 to pray the Angelus. It can be at 3 o'clock to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But build that prayer into our schedule. If we're trying to get the Mass every day, to look at our schedule, and maybe we're not going to get to the Mass that we normally plan to get to, and is there some place we're going to be where Mass will be available and that we can get there. If as part of this process we realize that we need to go to confession, do we know when our parish has confessions or nearby parishes? We're so gifted here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to have confession available on a daily basis. I know that you can go to the Miraculous Metal Shrine on Mondays. You have novena masses at 9, noon, and 6:30 at night. And confessions are at least 30 minutes, sometimes 60 minutes prior to each of those masses. They also have confessions daily before the noon mass from 11:30 to noon. That's at the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown. St. Rita's on South Broad Street has confession every day, or at least Monday through Friday, before the noon mass and before the and then again at 4:30. I believe it is in the afternoon. I hear at the St. John Newman Shrine. But, find out when confessions are on a daily basis around where you live. So not that you need to plan to get there, every day, but so that if things crop up and you really need to get to confession, you know where it's taking place. And you can always call your rectory, the parish you belong to, and ask for a priest and tell him what's going on, and perhaps he's got time in his schedule to see you kind of on demand, if you will. But that in that renewal, look at the day ahead and see what's coming. When are you going to pray? When are you going to get the Mass? Do I need to get to confession? And one of the practices that I've come up with and shared with other people, and one of the things that other people have come back to me and said they've had success with is the use of the guardian angel. And often, one of the greatest gifts that we've been given and often ignored by probably the majority of the people walking around on this planet, that they don't even realize that they have a guardian angel, or they do and don't acknowledge them on a regular basis. Here's an opportunity when you're reviewing what's coming up the next day. Are there opportunities for your guardian angel to help? Are you going to be in a meeting with someone you don't particularly care for? Are you going to be with family members that you might be struggling with? Maybe a friend that you've had an incident with, and you know that you're going to cross paths with them. Send your guardian angel out the night before on a reconnaissance mission to meet with the guardian angel or angels of people or folks that you're going to interact with, and have them smooth things over before you get there. I've shared this with a number of people and had them come back and tell me how appreciative they were to learn about doing this, because it works somehow or other. Situations that we may have had some fear about that we really didn't want to be a part of, we're really going kicking and screaming. If we go in with the idea or the notion that our guardian angel has already taken care of it, it can really make things go easier. And so, as part of the renewal process, maybe look to incorporate some of that into your life. And then finally, when we're done, we transition out of prayer, right? We started by transitioning into prayer and acknowledging God. And now as we transition out, aware of God's presence with me, I prayerfully conclude the examine. And so it can be as simple as thanking God for the time that we've just spent together. acknowledging again that God has been there, maybe that your guardian angel has been a part of this process, and to thank God for this time that we've spent together, and then resolve that we're going to do it again the next day. And really going through this examine prayer in depth like this, or whatever form folks are doing the 10-step prayer in, but doing this on a daily basis is a game changer. It really is. It keeps us from slipping into old behaviors, old thinking processes, or old thought processes, and can really prevent us from slipping back. And those of us that struggle with addiction, we can't afford to go back. You know, that addiction's always out there waiting for us. It's got that cold beer waiting for us. It's got, you know, the drugs waiting for us, whatever it is that we're addicted to. And, you know, Satan will often do whatever he can in order to suck us back into that life. And I really truly believe that this 10th step, this daily inventory, the examine and examination of conscience on a daily basis, not only prevents us but from slipping back, but can really catapult us into new dimensions in our spiritual life. You know, we can't do anything about anything until we know about it, right? Good friend Puppet says that all the time. We can't do anything until we know about it, till we acknowledge it. And the 10th step, the examine prayer, is a great way to look at our lives on a daily basis and note where things need to be improved, and also note where we've seen improvements, and knowing that in all this, you know, God's the driver. We can't do anything without God, right? We can't draw a breath. We can't help a neighbor. We can't go to Mass. We can't do anything without God, without the Holy Spirit. He's the one that animates us and allows the skin and flesh and these bones of mine to roll out of bed on a daily basis and try to do the best that I can to help other people and try to bring them along in whatever it is that they're going through life, whether it's my kids, my grandkids, friends, neighbors, coworkers, you know, whoever it is. You know, God has put us all together on this planet to help one another to achieve the final goal, and that's to get to heaven. And, you know, that's what these shows are about, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. That's what our church is about. Hopefully that's what our priests and religious are about. It can be about trying to, you know, to have a good time and enjoy life, but the ultimate goal is for all of us to get to heaven and be able to spend all of eternity with God. And so this practice of the inventory and the examine, you know, helps us to keep our eye on the ball, to know what's really important in life and to kind of get away from the things that aren't important. They can be fun. They can bring us some joy, but they're not the it's not the end game. It's not the goal, right? Our goal is to be able to spend all of eternity with God. And as Jesus said many times in the Gospels, the kingdom of God is at hand, and we can experience that at any moment if we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. And so I think it's odd or God that today we talked about the 10th step. Next week, my friend Peter will be back to talk about the divine will, and we can kind of tie that into the 11th step and continue this conversation, because the gift of the divine will is the ability to live in the kingdom every moment of our lives, not just when we die, and to be able to live in that lifestyle, if you will, the way that Adam and Eve did, the way that the Blessed Mother did, the way that Jesus did in human form when he was walking around the earth. You know, that gift is available to each and every one of us today. And once you know about the gift, then you can try to wrap your arms around it, wrap your head around it, and actually experience it. And on any given day, to be able to spend those moments with God, knowing that we're doing what he wants us to do, that we're helping other people to get where God needs them to be. It's a gift beyond measure, and something that I never, ever dreamed about and only in the past few years, even after doing radio for 14 years, I've really come to know and learn and to strive for it. So I want to thank you for being with me in this hour. Again, if you weren't with us in the beginning, we're still having some technical difficulties here and taking phone calls. And so in the 5 o'clock hour, rather than listen to me drone on, we're going to pick out a good show. I'm sure Maureen has picked out a good one for you to listen to. And hopefully we'll have the issues resolved when I get back again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand.